Good morning. Have I said I love to hear the stirring of God's people? Have I said that before? Well, I do love that. I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us. No one's having post-Easter depression, right? Because did you know that Jesus is still alive? I mean, it wasn't just last Sunday. He's still alive and active in our lives. So let's pray. Let's welcome him into this place. Father, we are humbled that you're even mindful of us. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that the tomb is empty. It's empty today and tomorrow and in the days ahead, because you are a living God that is active in our lives. You love us. And we love because you first loved us. Father, may you send your Holy Spirit into this place. May you inhabit our praises. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. May you receive honor and glory. And Father, it's not about us. It's about you. We worship you. So free us up to do that. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. If you want to rise, if you're able, as we worship.
In the house of the Lord this morning. Let's put those hands together. And with all of our heart, let's ask the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give us just a little closer walk with him this morning.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is offered freely to everybody in this room. No matter what you've done, Christ freely offers that same resurrection power. This morning I pray that we worship through the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. Well, I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Well, I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing. Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. And you may be seated. And at this time, children, come forward for your children's message.
Hey, Miss Harper. How are you? How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Everybody good? Stack of books here. Everybody, what?
You want us to stack the books there?
No, I've got my stack of books that I brought with me this morning. Yeah, no, you can hang on to your book. All right. Everybody good? Are y'all ready for the rain?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm outside of my house, and it's totally
they're going to hear thunderstorms. That's right. So, okay, my question for today is, who likes to read?
Me.
That helps us learn. Do
what? That helps us learn.
Yes, that's right. It helps you learn. You don't know how to read? Okay, so some of you don't know how to read, but you still look at picture books and all that kind of stuff, right? So I have several books with me this morning, and I have this one book. Do y'all know what kind of book this is?
A Bible.
It's not a Bible. This is a math book. Oh. Do you know you have to read a math book?
Yeah.
Does it help you learn? Does it help you learn? Yes, that's right. It does help you learn. Okay. So I have this book. What do you think this book's about?
A bird.
That's right. It's a picture book and it has lots of words. Do you think you could learn from this book about the story of the bird? I think you could. That's right.
And that's a dictionary.
Oh, you are right. That is a dictionary. Okay. Who knows what a dictionary is?
That's
Caleb.
It's a big book of words that are listed in alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm.
And,
do we use all these words in here to write books? And yes,
and
we do. That's right. Yeah. So, okay, let me ask you this question. I ask, who has a dictionary at their house? Since now we have computers and everything is like spell check, right? I know, I had to go find this one at our house. So dictionaries are important. I know, it's a very thick book. That's right. And then my last book.
I think people can't even read that.
I know. That's right. So my last book is what?
A Bible.
That's an adventure Bible. Who has a Bible at your house? Or a Bible? Who has a Bible with you this morning? Do you? Who has a Bible? Do you? You have a Bible with you this morning? Is a Bible important?
Yes.
Do we learn from the Bible?
Yes,
that's right. So, yes. In this, in our Bibles, there are stories, there's history, there's commandments, there are stories, there's poetry, there's songs. It is all written in this one book, the Bible. Yes.
This one only says the New Testament.
Right. Some have New Testament. Some have Old Testament. And but this one is both the Old and the New Testament. That's right. So, yes. That's right. That's right. And it tells in the Bible, the words in here tells us what it says about itself. And it says in Romans 15:4, it says, everything was written in the past was written to teach us. Was this written a long time ago?
Yes.
Does it still teach us today?
Yes.
Is this important that we learn from this Bible?
Yes,
yes it is. That's right.
It's important than everything.
God is the most important thing. That's right. This wonderful, amazing, true book teaches us everything we need to know about God's love. So, and it also teaches when things are wrong or when we're unhappy or when we're sad or whatever, we can read God's word and it helps us to know how to live each day when things are going around in our world. Did you know that? Did you can find it all in here? Yeah.
So the moon goes around the world.
You're absolutely right. So, you know, this the Bible tells us that God will always love us no matter what and that our joy comes from him. And it also tells us that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross. Did Jesus stay in that tomb?
No.
He arose on that third day and he lives today. And we can build our hope and trust on God because God has given us his word. And we can believe everything that is in here. Do y'all believe everything that's in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes, we can believe it. Now, have y'all read the through the whole Bible?
No.
No.
Yes, yes.
So,
I read the whole
you've
Bible.
Read the whole thing? Well, yes. But you know what? If you read one verse a day, you would still be reading God's word. Did you know that it just takes you to read a little bit every day to know God's word? Isn't that wonderful? So, this week and the weeks and days ahead, could you read one verse a day? Just open your Bible. Just open your Bible and read a verse that's right there on the page. Could you do that for me?
Yes.
And you'll be learning about God's truth. Okay? Can y'all do that? All right. Well, let's say a prayer, okay? Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love, and I thank you that your word is true, and that we can live each day knowing you and understanding you and how much your love for us is when we read your word, Lord, that we can know that it is true and right, and it will lead and guide us through everything in our lives, Lord. We just thank you for all these boys and girls, and just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. I like
yours. Hey, Riley, can you carry that five?
I like your prayer.
Okay, here.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. Great to have you worshiping with us online. If you want to register your attendance with us through the app, that would be awesome. I want to remind you of a couple things coming up. This Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary, we are going to affirm Chris Wingert's call to ministry. And if you want to come and bless him with your presence. Also, there's a vote that takes place, and I told the earlier service, if you're going to vote no, please stay home. Please don't come. I think it'll be unanimous. A lot of us have seen the call in Chris' life for a long time, and so we're excited about that. This Wednesday at 5:30, our annual bingo fundraiser begins, a meal at 5:30. Bingo starts at 6:30, and as the bulletin says, the donations go for youth church camps and mission trips. Next Sunday morning is our Senior Sunday. We recognize graduating seniors. And immediately after the late service, we will have an all-church meeting. Jeff will be discussing happenings in the Methodist world. So that'll be very informational. Anyway, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I wanted to remind you that we have some people that are available to pray on Sunday mornings. They will have prayer badges on. And so just seek those people out if you would like prayer. Also, after the service, we'll have two up front, Irene Mason, and Mike Matthews will be up front for prayer. Several of the rest of us will be around, so please don't leave this place if you need prayer for something. Let's go to the Lord. You know, I think as people of God, I think a lot of times we don't take time to be still and to know that he's God. So I want to encourage you just to take about a minute here and just kind of get settled before him. I believe he wants to speak to every one of us this morning. And we don't want to miss that. So just take a little bit of time, get before him, then I'll pray. Father, it's good to be in this house with your people. And Lord, you are God, that speaks. You speak spirit to spirit. You speak through your word. You speak through nature. And Lord, it's awesome how you want us to connect with you. So Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room not miss what you have for us this day. If you have a word for us, help us not to miss that. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness. Lord, there may be some people in here this morning that's had a difficult week, or this is a difficult season for them. God, I pray that you intervene. Lord, I pray that you make a way if people feel like there is no way. Lord, if someone here this morning that feels hopeless, I pray that that hope break out in their hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just ask that you touch bodies this morning for your glory. I pray for strength. I pray for healing. I pray for encouragement. Lord, I pray for a pain-free day for someone this morning. Oh, Lord, just do the things that only you can do. Lord, we ask for rain. And as I told the early service, it's easy to do that when you have a 90% chance. Doesn't seem like it takes a lot of faith. But I think about what James 5 says, that Elijah was a man just like us, a nature just like us, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. And then he prayed that it would, and it did. So, Lord, we just ask for rain. Father, I pray that you just soak the fields of the farmers. Lord, fill the reservoirs, God, for your glory. And do it in such a way that you honor yourself. That we look to you for provision. Oh, Father, you're so good. So loving. And we're grateful for the way you love us. Grateful for opportunities to love others, and we can only do that because you first loved us. Show us how to love better. Teach us, Holy Spirit, how to do that. And we'll give the Father the glory for it. Lord, I thank you for opportunities to spend time with you and spend times in prayer and worship and sitting under the Word. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Remind you that we will take our offering at this time if you want to bring one forward, or you can give electronically. God bless.
I was talking to a good ministry friend of mine this week, and they're just in that season where they were overwhelmed, and they had this happen, and then, you know, they lost a coworker, and their workload doubled and tripled immediately, and she just told me, man, I can't do it anymore. And I reminded her that's the best place to be, because it's at the moment that we come to the end of ourselves that we ask God to step in. This next song is called Battle Belongs. And so I want us to know, church, that the battle belongs to God. The battle for your holiness in your life, whatever you're going through, it belongs to Jesus Christ. And we win the victory through the power of the Holy Spirit through us. The first line of the chorus says, so when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. This morning, you cannot worship in your own strength and your own power. So I pray that we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us deeper into the presence of God this morning. Let's stand and sing if you're able.
Battle, you see my victory. the mountain, you see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands up to high. Oh God, all of me belongs to you. Everything I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, all of me belongs to you.
Spirit. hear your voice ringing on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more.
heart this morning to change your life.
Well, good morning again. You know, most every Sunday, but sometimes more than others, this morning as we were worshiping, I just felt grateful. Thankful and grateful and blessed. Blessed that the Lord loves us, but also blessed by each of you. I just love you guys. I hope you know that, each and every one of you. And when you're here, it's a blessing to me. I don't just say that. It's a blessing to see each one of you on Sunday. And even for our live stream audience, I know that some of you are not able to be here, and you bless me as well. But it's great to be in God's presence. It's great to be His people, isn't it? If you are our guest this morning, we hope you feel that same spirit and hope you feel that same love in this place by the Holy Spirit and also by His people. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you, blue stripe at the top that says guest, and would love for you to fill that out and would love to meet you. I will be out at this end of the foyer after the service and have a free gift for our guests, and I'd just like to get to know you a little bit. So hope that you will stop by and check in with me as you are leaving. Luke chapter 4 is where we're at. If you'd turn with me to that, Luke chapter 4. Now, to set this passage up, Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist, and he had the Holy Spirit descend upon him in the form of a dove, and he is headed to the desert. And we pick it up in verse 1, Luke 4, 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant, all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him up to Jerusalem, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels." Did you know Satan knows Scripture too? But he perverts it and twists it. "For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we need you. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read a little story. It's by a lady named Portia Nelson, and it's short, but it's entitled An Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Some of you may have heard this before, some not. Chapter 1, I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter 2, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I am in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. You see a pattern developing here? I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4, I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5, I walk down another street. Now, we laugh, but how true is that in our life? Especially when we're dealing with the topic we're dealing with today. This message applies to each one of us. Today's message is temptations, invitation. Temptations, invitation. And we're gonna look at this story of Jesus where he was tempted, and he's going to show us how to deal with temptation. So the first thing I want us to talk about, temptation is something, church, you should expect every day. It's not a rarity. It's a certainty. We should expect to be tempted every day. If we think that we're above temptation, then we are saying we're above Jesus, because Jesus was tempted. And our temptation has a source. For 40 days, this verse 2 of our passage today, for 40 days Jesus was tempted by the devil. There's a book, Joyce Myers says, a book called The Battlefield of the Mind, and this is where the enemy does his work, right here. He was tempted by they're not just these. When we get these thoughts like things we should do or shouldn't do, then we know better. Those are not just random fleeting thoughts. Those are thoughts that are planted by an enemy that wants to destroy us. Now, verse 13, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus for until an opportune time. So it wasn't like Jesus just had to overcome 3 temptations and he was done. The enemy went at him 3 different times with these, and maybe even more in those 40 days, but 3 times it's recorded. And finally, Jesus withstood against that. And finally, the devil fled. It's like, but it was kind of like saying, I'll be back. I'll be back. Even to the Savior of the world. So if he's looking for an opportune time to come back and tempt Jesus, how much more is he looking for an opportune time to tempt us? We must understand, church, that we should expect, anticipate temptation every day, every moment. And it may be subtle things like just tempted to say something that's really not affirming about someone. Oh? It could be what we might classify as small things. That's not really a small thing, but we may classify it that way. Jesus, in Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So it's saying Jesus has been tempted, and it's not just these three times that are recorded, but even in the garden, the night before he goes to the cross, you think that the enemy was planting in his mind, it's like, you don't want to do this, Jesus. This is going to be painful. They're not worth it. Your disciples have betrayed you. They have denied you. Or they're sleeping. You're getting ready to go get nailed to a cross for them, and they're sleeping. You don't, why would you do that for them? You think those thoughts weren't passing through Jesus' mind, that the enemy was doing that? And Jesus said, take this cup from me. He's struggling with this. He's making this decision, this temptation to not go through with it. But then he says, but not my will, but yours, Father, be done. So I believe he was tempted to not go through with it, and he overcame that temptation because he was so connected to the Father. James chapter 1, verse 13 says this. When tempted, no one should say. It doesn't say if tempted. It says when tempted. When tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now listen to this transition, this progression. Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. And that's those thoughts that the enemy will plant in our mind. It's like, just, yeah, nobody will know. Nobody will know. It'll be okay. Just once. Just do it one time. Just whatever it is that he's telling us. He entices us. It says that we are enticed, we're drug away and enticed. And then it says, after desire has conceived, so if we're, once we have those thoughts, once we entertain those thoughts, we are dragged away and the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So you see that transition, the thoughts that the enemy gives to us, when we entertain those thoughts, when we act upon those thoughts, it becomes sin, and sin leads to death. Sin is never a good thing. It never ends up well. How many can look back at a time in their life when you've done something you know was wrong, you know that God was not pleased, and it worked out well for you? It's never happened for me. It just doesn't. But the enemy, he just like he tried to distort God's word to Jesus, he does that. It's like, oh, nobody will care. Nobody will know. We should expect temptation every day. Secondly, if I can find my notes here, get ready. All right, here we go. Before I go to point two, I also want to say this. Some of us may entertain the thought that if we are tempted to do something, that in and of itself makes us a bad person. Well, Jesus was tempted. He was without sin, but he was tempted. Temptation in and of itself does not make us a bad person. And we may think that it makes us a bad person, that God surely is disappointed in me. No, God is not disappointed in you. He stands ready to help you overcome the temptation. So don't think temptation in and of itself is a sin. It's when we act on it, which leads me to my next point. Temptation is something not only we should expect, but we should prepare for every day. We should expect it every day. We should prepare for it every day. I was thinking back a couple of years ago. It was the weirdest thing. You remember when COVID first kind of became a thing and everybody quarantined for a couple of months? You remember that? That was the weirdest. Wasn't that the weirdest stuff? I mean, you drive down the street and there's like two cars, you know, and weird stuff. And Cheryl and I we were trying to help our family and letting them all stay home. And Cheryl and I would gather up shopping lists for me and her and for both of our kids' families, for my mom, for Cheryl's mom. So we're like, you know, going to the grocery store shopping for half of the south side of Abilene. And you go to the grocery store, and there's just a handful of people in there, and you can tell it was just kind of an eerie. Anybody else do this? It was just an eerie, weird thing. But everybody was prepping. Everybody was preparing for what was coming. And you know, they're buying. Man, I don't know. I think people are evil that bought all the toilet paper. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I mean, you know, the shelves are wiped out. I mean, there's hardly anything to buy. Anything. It's like, well, I don't normally buy that kind of toilet paper, but I guess it's the only roll left. So, you know, and everybody's just buying these things. And about a couple of months ago, gas was flying up, you know, getting higher. And I told y'all about my experience with the crazy person on Ambler Street, you know, where they wanted to fist fight me over a tank of gas. I still don't know what that was about. But, I mean, people lining up the lines for gas. I can remember in the 70s, remember when the fuel shortage happened? I was going to school, computer school in Dallas, and I'd have to sneak out during my break, during the middle of the day, to go get gas, because if I waited till after school, you know, you're waiting 2-3 hours to get a tank of gas. People, they see things coming and they prep. That you see these people on the coast, they see a hurricane coming, they're boarding windows and doing all these different things to prep for it. What would it be like if we knew what was coming with temptation and we prepared for it? What would that look like? I want to give you some, I'm going to hit these pretty quick, but these are some practical things, how we can prepare for temptation. And I've learned through the hard knocks of life. Some of these I've learned through ministry, just different scenarios and so forth, but I want to hit these pretty quick. And they're there in your handout as well. First of all, to avoid temptation, how to prepare and avoid temptation. Avoid vulnerable situations. You may have noticed, I really didn't intend to set out to this. I've lost a little bit of weight the last few months. What's my go-to snack? Come on. Chips and salsa. Well, back several months ago, I mean, I recognize it's like every evening, just practically every evening, I make some homemade salsa that I really like, and I like the blue chips at Sam's. Anybody like the blue chips at Sam's? Anybody else? And I would have chips and salsa almost every evening. Well, guess what? I decided back in the fall, it's like, I got to cut this out. I got to cut that out, man. First of all, you know, you gain weight, and second of all, it's just not healthy. And so guess what? We stopped buying chips. The other day we had some of the family came over for something and we had some chips, and I pulled down our last bag of blue chips and I looked at the date and I laughed with Cheryl and I said, look at the date on this chip, this bag of chips. It says, best if by October of 21. And Kirby, if you had one of those chips, I'm sorry. She doesn't like expired food. But if I go to Sam's, I should probably not go down the blue chip aisle. Hello, is this on? We should avoid vulnerable situations. If you struggle with consuming alcohol, I don't know, just a wild theory, something. I mean, you don't even have to pay for this. I probably wouldn't go to the liquor store if I were you, if that's a struggle for you. I probably wouldn't go down that aisle at Market Street. We avoid vulnerable situations. If we want to prepare for temptation, we recognize where our vulnerabilities are, because I promise you, I think I shared this in church. Did I share the fly story? Or was that with somebody else? I think that was with somebody else. But that struck me that I used to do when we would backpack, when I had fully functioning knees. We used to go backpacking, and I would fly fish, and you have little flies that are supposed to look like the flies in that region of the mountains, and you fly fish, you throw it out there, and you wait, and if you're not getting a strike on that fly, you change to a different fly until you find one the fish is attracted to. And that struck me the other day. That's just what the enemy does to us. What fly are you attracted to? Avoid it. You know what it is as I'm saying it right now. You know what it is. Avoid it. Secondly, way to prepare for temptation. Avoid toxic people. And my term for that is joy suckers. You know, and I know we're called to make disciples, and I'm not talking about you should, you know, if somebody's an angry person or a negative person, that you should never talk to them or be nice to them. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying the people that you, that we are, some people drain us and some people replenish us. And to consume our, to have time where all year round is toxic people that are draining you, don't do that. I mean, you can still love them, you can still pray for them, even share Christ with them, all those things, but as far as just hanging out with, avoid toxic people if we want to, because Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians, bad company corrupts good character. That's God's word. Thirdly, to prepare for temptation, seek out positive people. Avoid toxic people. Seek out positive people. There are people in your life, I know, that replenish you, that are encouragers, that that it's good to hang out with people that are a positive influence in your life. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. There are people that make us better, that are maybe mentors in our lives. Seek those type of people out. Fourth thing to prepare for temptation, create protective boundaries and accountability. You know, I was telling the early service that, you know, back there years ago, you know, before these things came around, it was different. I mean, life was different, but there is, and I've shared this before, there is nothing, there's no technology that I have that my wife doesn't have access to. She can look at anything that she wants to look at of mine. It's not personal. It's not private. She can look at anything she wants to. Any email I've sent, any social media post, any Facebook post, anything at all that I have shared, that I have, she has access to, because I want, first of all, I want boundaries and I want accountability, not just with her, but in my life. I shared this with early service that not once, not twice, it's in the dozens, in the 20 years or so of ministry, dozens of times I have talked with primarily couples who there's been struggles and many times infidelity where social media was at the root of it. Well, really, the enemy was at the root of it, but he utilized social media. And so I'm just telling you, you know, social media can be fun, it can be great, and you can do different things with it and so forth, but I'm just telling you, if you start getting that itch to kind of like, I wonder what, oh, so-and-so, I haven't seen her since high school. I wonder what she's doing. I wonder what she looks like now. I mean, it doesn't lead to good things. It just doesn't. Create protective boundaries and accountability. When I first, the first week I became pastor here, coming up on September will be 20 years. Some of y'all are going, "Ooh, man, it's about time to get rid of you." But about 20 years ago, when the first week I was here, I moved into the pastor's office, and there was a solid door, and many of y'all knew John King. John was a member of our church and moved a few years ago, and John actually passed away about a year ago. When John was, he could do anything. He could build anything, and he had a servant's heart and just a great man. And I asked John, I said, "John, can you cut a window in that door for me?" And he's like, "Yeah. Can you do that right away?" And I just didn't want a solid, and sometimes I'll have a lady that, or primarily if a lady comes in and says, "Do you mind if I shut the door? This is kind of private." I didn't want to be behind a closed door, not because I don't trust the ladies or trust myself, but it's just I want accountability. I want to have healthy boundaries in my life. We need those things. We, first of all, if we don't understand that there but by the grace of God go I, that we are vulnerable. Your pastor's vulnerable. You're vulnerable. You have an enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. Put those creative protective boundaries and accountability into your life. And then lastly, and this was Jesus' secret weapon in avoiding and preparing for temptation. Dig into God's Word. Dig into God's Word. Satan came at him three different times in this story, and each time Jesus said, "It's written." If you'll look at the end of Luke chapter 2, we start seeing, you know, we hear about Jesus from the time really when he was born and even before when he was prophesied. But when he's born and all the way up through age 12, when he's in the temple, we hear about him all the way up through age 12. And then it goes silent. His life basically goes silent until he's around 30 or so. So about an 18-year window of silence. What's going on? And here's what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Here's what it says. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And that's basically what's going on in those 18 years is Jesus is growing in wisdom and stature. He is in God's Word. When Satan came and said, "Hey, if you'll turn these rocks into bread, prove that you're the Son of God," he didn't have to go, "Hang on just a minute. There's a concordance in here. Just a minute. Let me find that." No, he knew it. Verse written. Man does not live by bread alone. It's written. So we must know God's Word. And in the early service, I was saying, in the early church, and I've shared this before, but Huss was, and Whitcliffe, my coach over here, there was a man that had named Whitcliffe who had translated this Bible. In the early church, the church didn't want common man to have this. But you know why? Because it gave the church great power. They could say, "Oh, don't do that. You do, this is what the Bible says. Let me tell you what it says. Oh, by the way, you got to give so much in indulgences, offering to the church. And all these good things are going to happen. We'll tell you. You don't need this. We'll tell you what it says." And so people began to, it was heresy early on, to begin to translate this into common man's words. There was a guy named Wycliffe that had done that and had dozens of copies of this. And then another man, Huss, I think that's how you pronounce it, who was kind of his protege. And he was also distributing these Bibles, and they took, the church took him and burned him at the stake using those Bibles as kindling. They didn't just want to kill the guy, they wanted to make a point. This isn't for you. Do we realize how precious this is? To be able to read, you don't have to wait for me to tell you what it says. You don't have to trust what I've told you is accurate. Read it yourself. Know it. Jesus said, "It's written." Yeah, you come at me. Bring it on, Satan. Bring it on. It's written. I know how to stand against all those things. It's, for 18 years, I believe Jesus was in the Word. He was learning the Word. He was becoming a man. He was drawing near to the Father. Dig into God's Word. Be prepared for temptation. Know God's Word, church. Thirdly, temptation. It's not only something we should expect, and it's not only something we should prepare for, but it's also something we should overcome. We can overcome. There's two very wise men that I want to quote about this. First one said this: "It is easier to stay out of temptation than to get out." It is easier to stay out of temptation than to get out. Mark Twain. I like that. He's saying, you know, when you're in the midst of sin, that's not the time to think about, I probably shouldn't be doing this. No, the time to think about it is before you're even tempted and make that preparation. And then the second quote is this: you can't help if a bird flies into your barn, but you don't have to build it a nest. Corey Wood. Oh, well, Corey stole it, but I heard it from Corey. All the good stuff's stolen. It's just the way it is. I like that. You can't help if a bird flies into your barn, but you don't have to build it a nest. And that's what's happening up here. It's like the enemy is planting these thoughts, and if we entertain, God's word says, take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Take them captive. Now this, 1 Peter 5, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And here's what it goes on to say. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. James 4, 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. 1 Corinthians, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, not if, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. You know, as I wrap this up, let me say this. Verse 1, it says that Jesus went into the desert full of the Holy Spirit, and led by the Holy Spirit. So he goes in, he's equipped to do battle with the devil. Then in verse 14, after he had defeated the devil's temptation, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Do you see that sandwich? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being led with the Holy Spirit, and when he defeated temptation, when he defeated the enemy, he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I shared this a few years ago, and I'll share it again. But you know, there is a power when you know that you've been being tempted and you resist it. There's just something. A few years ago, I was a young man. It was back before these. That's how many years ago it's been. But I was taking a load of trash to a public dumpster and I opened the dumpster, and these pornographic magazines, they used to have to print those, by the way. You used to didn't carry them in your pocket. But anyway, they're fanned out on the bottom. I mean, there wasn't another stick of trash in there, period. These magazines are fanned out like a display case in the bottom of this dumpster. And I opened up the dumpster, and I'm by myself. I opened up the dumpster getting ready to throw some trash in it, and I looked down there, and I saw that, and I was a young man. Struggles that young men have and some older men have. And I saw those and I went, hey. There wasn't anybody around. And then I immediately, because I was walking with the Lord, I immediately recognized this is a trap. The enemy is tempting me, trying to trap me and draw me into this. I went, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. I got my trash. I dumped it right on top of there. And I kid you not, I'm in my truck, and I'm pulling away, and I'm praising God. And I'm just in the top of my lungs in my cab. If there'd been a dog in there, he'd had his head cocked. But it's like, I was just, yeah. I mean, I was in your face, Satan. Yes. I was filled with power. Because I had overcome this trap that the enemy had set for me, the bait. Resisting temptation can fill us with power. We do that in the name of Jesus. And as I said earlier in the early service, sin never works out well for us. It just doesn't. But the enemy wants to destroy us. Every time we say no to sin and yes to God, we become stronger. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. If you'll just bow your head with me. Father, you are so good. You are a good and powerful God. And there is no temptation that's stronger than you. You always provide us a way out. May we protect ourselves. May we know your word. May we, when we set up boundaries and accountability and surround ourselves with positive influences in our life. Well, may we be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you're not disappointed in us when we're tempted, that you're ready to give us a way out. Teach us, oh God, convict us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a reminder, at the end of the service, Billy and others will be available here for any prayer. That please don't leave this place if you're needing prayer. I'll be out in the foyer. Would love to meet our guests. If you would stand, if you're able, as we close.
Lord, I come and I confess that bowing here I find my rest. Without you I'd fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Stand up all on you.
I got an amen on that. I like to watch the shows in Africa where about the herds and all and survival and so forth. And the ones that the lions always look, if you got a herd of wildebeest, they always look for the ones that wander away from the herd. Perhaps wounded, young, immature. I've never seen the lions attack the herd. We need each other. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, and he will flee from you. Resist him, church. We have good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.